Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
Welcome, and thank you so much for listening. I have a very interesting episode here for you this round with a great entertainer, Preston Pugmire. Now, I say a great entertainer and not just musician because, well, it'll make more sense when he gets into it. We talk about that exact thing. And one of my favorite parts was when he told a story about one of his recent shows where only a few people came and how he kind of created a great experience for them to make it special. We talk about how motivational speakers are terrible, but how we can make it better, and some hurdles that we face with being an entertainer, and some challenges that have to be overcome. There was one quote that I remembered from talking to him, and it said something about, it's not about getting everything to go right, it's about developing the tools to handle things. So there's some amazing stuff in here. It's one of my favorite episodes. I do have to apologize about the audio quality of this episode. It is a little bit loud in the background because we're actually driving in a car during this. The entire thing. We're sitting in a car. We were at an event in Myrtle Beach, and we went for a drive around, and we were just talking. So the content is very much worth it. We actually recorded a thing in the van with him, kind of a piece of this interview, and then he got to play a song. So if you want to watch the video, go check out my website. It's at chrisruggiero.com. Click on videos. You'll see the video of Preston in there. So check it out.
And then turn left at this light. But yeah, give me your questions.
What is...
Do you want to do an introduction or anything?
No. Am I going left here?
Yes.
What do you want people, when you are done doing your career, if they could describe your what you did in one sentence, what do you want that to be?
Done doing my career? That's an interesting question. I'll answer what I think you're asking, which is like if I'm done playing music.
Yeah, right? Like when you are, say, okay, I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish.
Well, if you're open, I'll take it a step further. I don't think that, I'll ever be... what I want to accomplish is to be able to share my passion of connecting with people. And it just happens to be through music. So I guess, if I'm not performing music anymore, then I would say that, in one sentence, what I want people to say is, he really touched some hearts and connected with people through his songs and through his performance and believed in what he was doing. Maybe that was two sentences. Oh, shoot.
Cool.
But that's what I want.
So you're saying you could do, if another opportunity...
Make a laugh. Just do it.
Now we know where it's going. Yeah, we'll kind of go with this a little bit. This Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll just do a run here and then back.
Or go two runs, whatevs. We're here. We're doing this.
So that was something that I was talking to a few people on the podcast, because that was the same thing. I feel like a lot of musicians are kind of like musicians. They say, this is my passion, this is what I do. And I was thinking about it, the same thing, and I realized that I don't care, my show is juggling circusy type stuff, but I don't care if I'm doing that. That's my tool at the moment.
Yeah, that's the medium that you're doing it through right now. I cut you off, but
totally. So that's what I have available right now. I can do these things and make people laugh and have people have a good time. But I was thinking about it, I don't need to do that. I'm passionate or whatever about doing that, but it's not about what I'm doing. It's about what that's creating for the audience. And that's interesting. I feel like most musicians have a thing where I'm a musician. So that was interesting when you as a musician come out and say that you don't really, not that you don't care about music, obviously.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
No, I did not say that. But
and
yeah.
That's not what it came across as, but that you could use a different tool.
Yeah, for real. And so, when I started playing music, I realized that it was, I guess it was a deeper thing behind it, in that I was really connecting with people, and music just happened to be the medium, because for me, music is so emotional. when I listen to it, I develop this connection. And a lot of people are like that. I'm not saying I'm unique in any way, but like, I was like, if I could just do that through my music with somebody, and it was I was able to combine my passion of like really connecting with people like heart to heart, and sharing moments with them, and combine that with my love of music, and it just worked out so well. And right now I'm just writing that, and maybe later on I'll shift into like more of like a one-on-one like motivational coaching, as maybe as cheesy as that sounds. I love being able to connect with people, and if it's through music or if it's through just being a mentor or anything like that, that's what moves me. And music is how I'm doing it right now, and I love playing music. But just like anything, there's seasons in life.
Yeah. So you get to travel all over the place and perform. What's been one of the most memorable, I guess, either moments or even like people or experiences that you've got to be part of because you were doing what you're doing?
One of my favorite things is just last week, honestly. I've been touring as my job for like 4 years now. And just last week, I had one of the best shows I've ever had. It was in Des Moines, Iowa. And other times I've played there, it's been like 250 people have showed up. Just like, maybe that's not a lot for you, but for a coffee house act, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, that'd be great for me.
but at this particular one, for some reason, I don't know if it was a scheduling thing or not, they didn't advertise it or whatever, but like only like 50 people came. And I decided, and majority of them had already seen me, and I haven't put out any records since last year, and so the show that I was doing was kind of this old, but they'd already seen it. And so I decided to completely switch it up on the fly, and I turned it into like a really intimate, like storyteller's kind of a vibe, and I told a lot of stories behind the songs that I don't talk about normally. And there would be like 5 to 10 minutes in between songs where I was just talking to the audience and telling them stories and interacting with them, and they would say things and I would riff with them, and it was funny. And I have never felt so like everybody was there on the same page, willing to talk about and go places that other audiences were. It was less of like an entertainment thing and more of a, everybody was there experiencing this, and I just happened to be like leading it and one with the guitar. And I was talking about like, I wrote a song about my parents' divorce, so I was talking about that and how it had affected me, and I like challenged all the people to like think of a time in their lives where they felt pain. And then I took them through a process, like an emotional process of shifting out of that pain and realizing the good that can come out of what seems like a very painful situation.
Yeah.
And then when I got done with that, like, it was like this whole, it was only like 10 or 15 minutes of this like emotional process. And I kind of got done and I go, bet you didn't think you'd get that when you came to this show. And everybody like, and people were coming up to me afterwards, like, just so in the moment with that. And
yeah,
it was a phenomenal experience. I loved everything about it. And then I got to play music in addition to just doing that. And it was really like cathartic for me to be able to share with them these type of experiences that I've been having. So
yeah, that's cool too. And you know, you mentioned that, I always thought about doing something like that, creating a show that's like that, that has a take home more than just like go up and do silly tricks and stuff. And I know it's like what you mentioned earlier, like I forget what you said, like cheesy or something about being called like a motivational speaker or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like it has that thing. But I think that the problem with it is because most of the people that do that don't have any basis around what they do. It's like they are motivational speakers. And I think some of them are amazing.
I don't
want to take anything away from them, but there are certain ones who you're just like, it looks like you couldn't come up with an act. So you just said that I'm going to talk about leadership. because you wanted to be like an entertainer, but you couldn't do anything.
So I'm gonna talk about
diversity. You know, it's like we've all seen those things.
No,
and that's why when you say I want to do this, it's that cheesy thing comes up because that's what we've seen this whole time.
Yeah.
And how valuable is it? Like, imagine if those guys would be like, here, you can do this thing that you don't even have. Like, you have this skill and ability and gift that you can actually do something.
That's a cool way to look at it.
And it's almost, for me, it's like I'm starting to think like I'm almost wasting a little bit of what I'm doing just by going up and say, hey, look, I can do tricks.
I
want to come out and tell people, you know, like whatever. Like, so I want to come at the side of it like you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like this is just something that somehow I learned how to juggle and it became like it kind of kept working.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. And it's like now it's working as a job. And so it's like whatever your thing is, like if you do it and you put 5 years into it, like you can do it.
Totally. I think when I started playing college shows, I would go and I'd do my set and it was awesome. Get a lot of, you know, response. People are buying CDs, people are clapping and stuff like that. And after a couple of years of that, I realized that it wasn't as fulfilling as it was at the first. And so I shifted into more of a,
yeah,
what I kind of described. That the particular one that I described was like that was the best of the ones that I had.
Yeah,
but I started doing more of that, slipping a little kind of, what am I trying to say? Like slipping a story into it,
yeah,
slipping a motivational thing or a take-home message or a challenge or whatever. And I think for something where you're doing, like, it doesn't even, yes, you can totally do that, like with, you can do whatever you want because I'm a juggler for my job or something like that. But you could also do, like, if you're doing a specific thing with rings, like the rings could represent things,
yeah,
and like you could keep them up in the air and balance, and you could talk about connection, you could talk about balance, you could talk about communication.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring a person up on stage and you're doing something, you could turn that whole like part of your show, that segment, into a thing about communication. You could turn it into a thing about relationship building. You could turn it into a thing, like, as long as you're an entertainer.
Right.
And you're good with the crowd and you have that foundation, you can turn anything into like a message that can really touch people.
Yeah. So what's one of the biggest challenges you've faced?
In college touring?
In choosing to not take a traditional path of life.
Yeah, okay. I love that question. Because the answer is me. 100%, the biggest challenge that I've faced is me battling within myself, like giving myself permission to be successful. I know that sounds so, I don't know what it sounds like, but like when I grew up, I decided that you had to do a life a certain way that involved, you know, getting college and family and house and just all these different types of things and getting a job at this place and 9 to 5 and things, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. It doesn't work for me, and for a lot of people, my life, our life of traveling around, that wouldn't work. People like that, like stability. They like the guaranteed paycheck and stuff like that. And it's, but for me, the biggest hurdle that I faced was my own self-doubt.
Uh-huh.
My own, like I said, inability to give myself permission to think that it was okay to travel around the country and play music for your job, because it's not traditional.
Does that come from somewhere where you think it's, you should have to work harder? You're not like entitled to this easy, like, not that it's easy, but...
Well, it's not easy. No,
it's harder than, it'd be much easier to go do something else. That's what I tell people, you know.
Yeah, it would. I mean, I can go get a job, you know.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't move me.
Right.
And so that's an interesting question. Where does it come from? Honestly, I would say that it comes from just the culture of my small town. And it's easy for me to blame that on an external thing. But
so is there a bit of insecurity in there, or are you past that?
Yes, there was a lot of insecurity in there. I am past almost all of it. Yeah, I have insecurities creep up all the time, but right now I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I have the tools to deal with them.
Yeah.
And that, I personally feel that that's what life is about, to be totally honest. Like, not having everything go right, or everything, like, emotionally, financially, and relationships, and jobs, and everything. It's not about getting to a point where everything goes right. It's about getting to a point where you have the tools in your life to take care of it and be okay with things and to shift things when they start to go wrong emotionally or professionally or relationship wise because life is going to happen to you. Life happens to me, and then I deal with it in a really, I feel, well adjusted, like, mature way. And so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff's not going to be relevant to anyone listening, so it's a big chop.
Do not say that, because I feel like there's way more people that are thinking these same things.
Yeah, so
than you might believe.
The thing that's so interesting is, you know, as an entertainer who you go up on stage and perform for people, I think a lot of people, you know, me looking at other entertainers and stuff, that illusion is there for most people that, like, when they're up on stage, like, when you're up on stage, most of that, I imagine, I won't talk for you. For me, most of that feelings of, you know, whatever it is that, like, kind of holds you back, whether it be insecurities or whatever else it is, that kind of, like, goes away while I'm on stage.
Oh, yeah.
That's more like these behind-the-scenes type of things, so it's crazy when you think about how many, like, big artists and stuff you've seen that look like rock stars.
Yeah.
That they are battling the same thing.
Dude. Totally.
And then that's, so then, you know, I think that's good for, you know, people that aren't entertainers, and that's what I don't want this things to be about for entertainers. Like, it's for every person. Like, because we see these people who we think are, like, our heroes or whatever on TV and everything, like, oh, they have, they're set.
Yeah.
And it's like they have the same, not the same problems, but different problems that are equal, you know.
Totally. Maybe that's a really good point. Like, on, when you step on stage, like, that's where I feel extremely comfortable. There's no insecurity at all.
If you could just live there. The problem is you're only there for
an hour,
3 hours
a
week, you know, 4 hours a week.
And so it's kind of like, okay, so somebody does a blog post, right? That blog post is about how they did this crafty thing, or they did this whatever. The blog post is a snapshot of the best of them. All the pictures are perfect. All the descriptions are perfect. Everything about it is like this tight little package. That's me on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a snapshot. What you're seeing is the best of me. I'm not going to go up on stage and talk. Well, I mean, talk about, but you're not going to see me.
Or you're not going to be up there and, like, be complaining about, like, how much you're upset about something or something.
No,
like,
that's not a thing.
That's not what your job is right at that moment.
And so when people read blogs, they think that is an accurate description of somebody's life. And when they see somebody on stage, they think that's what life is like all the time. And that's why Drake has that line in his song where he says that, like, he says something like, this is everything it's cracked up to be, and this is my life all the time. And for him, maybe it is.
Yeah.
But maybe not for every entertainer. Have you seen the Katy Perry documentary?
No.
Okay, so she was having a really tough time with her husband at the time, Russell Brennan. And there's a moment in her documentary where she gets a text from him that is extremely upsetting. I think that it might have been the text where he said he's going to leave her, divorce her. And she gets it, like, 10 minutes before she's about to go on stage. And she is standing, it's like this platform that is hydraulic and raises her up. And she, like, she's crying, she has tears coming out of her face, and she, like, hands her phone to somebody or something like that. She's crying, but she's all dolled up. And then she goes, and then they say, Katie, you're on in 20 seconds or something like that. And she goes like this, she goes wipes her face, and she goes, and then the platform starts to go up, and I was like, oh my gosh.
She,
like, that was just, that was a surreal moment, and it didn't look scripted, I don't know, whatever, but, like, it looked really genuine, and she's dealing, I mean, like, divorce, man, that's, no matter how much money you have, no matter how famous you are, whatever, like, your husband leaving you, that's gonna be awful, it's really gonna cut, like, it's really gonna hurt, so, but she had to go on stage right then, and had all that stuff going and she put it aside and then just killed it on stage, and everybody thinks that that's what her life is like all the time.
Yeah. Do you think that the kids these days, and I say the kids as in all of us, the people, so we both perform at colleges a lot, and these students are, you know, we're born with the internet.
I'm doing it. Yeah.
These kids were born with the internet.
Yeah.
And they're just so used, they're used to having this connected and you know, so their world, their real world is very much that, where they're seeing the best of all their friends' things. And, like, all the best of their friends, you know, posts and all that. Like,
yeah.
A very filtered view of what reality is.
Very.
And they're always connected. Do you think that's... They're losing something?
1,000%.
That maybe we didn't have, you know, and we kind of, like, came in after when I was in middle school, I was just, like, I think I just got a cell phone.
Yeah.
That didn't do anything.
No. It made phone calls. I'm not trying to... I love this question, and I love this question. And there's a lot of people that will totally get it, and a lot of people that will not even get it. And there, you can't. If you grow up in this age, then you can't. I don't know what it was like before TV. You know what I mean? Like, we can't grasp that kind of a thing. And so that made it sound like I grew up in the 60s. That's a really good question, though. This is how I totally view it. Let me try again. This is how I view it. The way that the internet and social media connect us is in a very superficial way. We present our best selves, for the most part, on social media, and the connections that we make are not really real connections. And so we end up feeling connected, but at the same time isolated. That's how I feel social media. Those are the effects of social media for me. You feel extremely connected and extremely isolated in the same moment. And I really feel like everybody knows what I mean when I say that. Like, you can go through and you scroll through all the Facebook stuff and you comment on somebody's thing and then they like it and you're like, yeah. But really, you were sitting alone in your house doing that. And
seeking desperately for it not to be that way.
Yes. Dude, exactly.
You're seeking something from doing that you could just get if you weren't on the phone or the computer.
Exactly. But I fall into that same trap of, like, just scrolling through Instagram and reading blogs and things like that. Anyway, that's really what I think is happening. And I want to teach my younger siblings and my kids. Oh my gosh, it looked like a helicopter for a second.
I wish if that is in this thing. The reason why we just reacted was we just saw somebody get launched in one of those crazy bungee things.
Huge that bungee shoes
straight up into the sky.
But I saw it like, oh, that was... Nothing is more boring than watching somebody react to something that you didn't see.
Yo, you guys should have totally just saw that thing behind
it. It was on the other side. I really, really want to teach my younger siblings and my kids how to have a person-to-person conversation. Like, it's becoming more and more of a lost art. And now I'm sounding like kids these days, that kind of a thing. But it's for real. I know some people that have gotten married and their entire relationship was spent on, like, via text.
Right.
And then they get together and they're living in the same house and they're like, oh, how do we do this with where I can't, like, compose and edit before I push send? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like everything is in real time and I don't know how to react. And that's, I don't know, that I think that over the next 10 to 20 years, I feel like interpersonal communication is really going to take like a front seat as far as like a skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, that guy has that skill, even more so than it has been for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's always been like a skill that people want to have and that they recognize in somebody else, but it'll become an even more antiquated skill. Mm-hmm. Like shoe cobbler person. It'll be like a shoe cobbler.
That's not what a shoe cobbler is.
Somebody who cobbles shoes.
Oh.
That's like somebody who
explains everything.
It's called a cobbler, where you you resole and repair like shoes and boots and stuff.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. Now we just buy new shoes.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of people will just if a friend does something, unfriend. You just unfriend. You get a new pair of shoes.
Right.
Instead of cultivating that.
I was trying to think of some way to bring that to something besides shoes, and that's the I saw like a little cartoon. This is kind of weird. There was like a cartoon. It was like an old couple, and they're like, "Oh, how did you stay together for this long? How do you like?" It was like, "We came from a time when something was broken, we fixed it instead of got a new one." And it's like kind of interesting. It's like cheesy, kind of, but
unless it's like not
a nice thing. Unless like when you think about it in a way, you're like, "Oh, it's actually kind of an interesting thought." Where like our mentality now is everything. Your phone costs more than a phone ever cost, and it lasts 1 year. When phones cost, $5, you bought one your whole life. Like, my grandmother still has the same one. Yeah. And it still works. It'll work forever.
I feel like interpersonal communication, the ability to have a conversation and to really, like, experience somebody's soul and somebody's heart in a relationship is the most important thing in this world. And I'm not just talking about romantic.
Yeah.
Like any type of relationship or communication you can have with somebody. Me to my wife, me to you, me to the guy that's about to make me a sandwich here in Jersey Mike's Subs.
Myrtle Beach.
Like, it's, that to me is the most important thing. And right now, it's through the medium of music that I do that and experience that. Dude, I like the way you think.
Well, thank you, Preston. I like the way you think as well. But seriously, I think this was one of the best podcast episodes so far, with Preston's stories and how he is so passionate about connecting with his audiences and inspiring people. Is truly inspirational for me, and I'm sure the amount of people that he has been influencing and having an impact on is just absolutely amazing. So again, I mentioned at the beginning, we actually recorded a song while we were in the van. That video can be seen if you go to my website, which is chrisruggiero.com, and then click on videos, scroll down, you'll see Preston and I driving in the van with one question from here, and then he plays a song. But I would like to share it with you guys right here. So here it is, the song that Preston sang in the back of my van while we were in Myrtle Beach just a little while ago. So check this out, enjoy, and thank you so much for listening.
The song is called Perfect Road, and it's about my kind of journey emotionally through, in my adulthood, my journey through understanding what happened when my parents got divorced and how I kind of like reacted to that and some decisions that I made about myself when I was a kid and how I shifted those in my adulthood. And anybody can change any situation that they've had and realize that it can be perfect for you because of what it teaches you. So here we go. Here we go. All these decisions divide this bloodline, and it cuts me down like a tree. And I let it get in the way, and it gets the best of me. I'm just a child, but confused, while these leaves turn from green to brown. I lift my head again, and I breathe in this new town. How many years did I spend wondering where
Home, I wonder, is it gone? You can't put back a fallen leaf, and you can't mend a broken home. But I know that every step on this perfect road has led me here, and there's nowhere else that I should be. I know that every step on this perfect road has led me here, and there's nowhere else that I should be. I'm just barely starting to understand these things. I've got a white picket fence out front that displays my insecurities. And I'll open up this chest in the attic of my soul. It's filled with hearts and memories. I dust it off and let it go. Because I know that every step on this perfect road has led me here, and there's nowhere else that I should be. I know that every step on this perfect road has led me here, and there's nowhere else that I should be. And all these masks I wear have gotten me nowhere. I wanna be out there, so I have to trust that it gets better. It does, because I know that every step on this perfect road has led me here, and there's nowhere else that I should be. I know that every step on this perfect road has led me here, and there's nowhere else that I should be. And every step on this perfect road has led me here, and there's nowhere else that I should be.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.